My next guest is on the line. Dr. Waitse Lung is an expert in the Academy for Computer Science and Software Engineering at the University of Johannesburg. And we're going to be talking about an article which was published in My Broadband today. And the headline is this: South African allies allegedly in a secret plot to attack and destroy Starlink. Now, I know we live in a post-truth world. Sometimes you read headlines that are so outrageous, you don't even know if they're true or not. I guess my gut tells me this could be one of them. But nevertheless, even just as an intellectual discussion, let's try and come to terms with what it is that is being alleged. Dr. Waitse Lung, thank you for being with me on Chai FM.
Good afternoon to you and your listeners.
So when you read this report that Russia and China allegedly discussed ways to disable or even destroy Starlink, I mean, is this even technically possible?
Well, I mean, nothing is impossible because systems can be broken into. If you do look at the article, they do say that they're going to try and attack it by a cyber attack, and failing that, they could go for physical attack. I don't think it's that far-fetched to shoot missiles at or other types of projectiles at the Starlink satellite, but it will be quite difficult because you take out one satellite in the Starlink network, but there's still thousands up there. So it's not going to, you're going to have to disable quite a fair chunk of them to disable the network overall.
Well, that's exactly one of the questions I was going to ask you, because the very little I know and understand about Starlink is that its architecture is utterly and totally decentralized. I've seen those pictures where you see the little globe of the world and then these gazillion dots all linked over it in space. So there's no single node to hit or no single ground station to jam. Surely that must make it one of the hardest networks in the world to attack, or is decentralization only part of the story?
Well, decentralization is actually quite a good strategy, because it gives you more room for, because it's not a single point of failure. Think of those Christmas lights that you used to probably hang on your, when people think of Christmas lights and they're all, wired in the way they do. If one single one fails, then the whole thing you can chuck in the bin. And so, Starlink is not like that. As you say, decentralized. I think so. The easiest actually is to try and attack it through in a cyber manner. Physically attack it, but through maybe the software, get hold of, upload instructions to say, okay, well, disable yourself or take it down. But obviously, the systems, I'm not too familiar with the security of the Starlink network itself, the nodes, but I would assume that they have pretty good backups to prevent this from happening.
Yeah, I would imagine that too. It's just fascinating to me that you've got two countries like Russia and China, both of whom are probably, and this is all allegedly, I mean, I understand that, spending significant amounts of money in trying to see what the vulnerabilities of the system are in order to disable it. I mean, on one level, it makes a whole bunch of sense that they would be doing this.
Yeah, I think their plan, their level one attempt, is probably the quickest and easiest way, which is to try and embargo the system through commercial means, I suppose, or trade or agreements. But otherwise, a cyber attack would be the next one. But I think the most difficult and lowest return on investment would be trying to attack it physically.
Crazy discussion that we're having. Unimaginable. I wouldn't have, if you said to me 2 years ago you were having this discussion, I would have said you're dreaming. But it really is just showing us where the world has gotten to. I know I've on occasion asked you to enter into the legal questions. You've made it very clear to me that you're not a lawyer, but I can't help it. So if Russia and China were to attempt a coordinated cyber attack, which you said is probably the most likely, are there any kinds of legal frameworks or international law that govern these norms or this situation, or is it the Wild West?
Well, I think it is actually more of a Wild West situation. Of course, there's a gentleman's agreement where, oh, we don't touch your infrastructure, you don't touch ours. But I think in the world today, I think the bodies that try to uphold that are not exactly the most powerful, do they have the most teeth, if I can put it that way politely. But I'm also not a politics person, so I can't really put in there. But this is just casual observation. I feel like, oh, you were naughty, you did this. And then like, okay, so what are you going to do about it?
Tell me, just, I've got no idea how this world is actually working when it comes to who's using what platforms. Let's assume that Starlink were down tomorrow. What effect would that have on the way we conduct our lives as we know it? Or which organizations would be most severely affected?
I think the most immediate one that you might hear the impact of will be the Ukrainians, because they are relying on Starlink to coordinate and get the communication system at the moment. And then you will also probably hear the impact for example, journalists that are in oppressive regimes that are using Starlink as a way to send communication out or get access to information that is not, you know, heavily censored. So those are your more secondary implications. That's obviously if we say the network is down overall. If the physical approach, like we are blasting them out of the sky, is a thing, my worry would then be it causes debris in space, and that could potentially hit other satellites that are in the, you know, in up there, and that could disable maybe even our GPS, the technology that's powering our GPS.
Wow.
So it is it's a shared neighborhood, if you can put it that way.
I was just interested also whether, I had no idea what your response was going to be, obviously, and I was just wondering to what extent like rural hospitals in Uganda might be reliant on Starlink for, I don't know, all sorts of technological abilities to do or not do operations and distribute food and all those sorts of things. And I guess I just don't have a handle on what it is that Starlink does, but certainly what you're saying about Ukraine makes a whole lot of sense. So does this take us like firmly into this new era where cyber war and space infrastructure and geopolitics, all that kind of merges into one battlefield? Is this the brave new world, and are we ready for it?
Well, I do think that the whole thing with state-sponsored attacks on cyber systems, it has been going on for quite a while, because governments recognize that countries rely heavily on using cyber systems to control a lot of critical infrastructure. So for example, imagine like Cuba, you know, we've got nuclear systems in place powering a country's, electricity. And let's say we use all sorts of internet controlled systems so that we can control them remotely. Now, if someone says they have a problem with South Africa and they take over our systems, imagine the untold harm that could be, directed our way. So people are aware of this, and so there's a great deal of interest in protecting cyber systems from other countries. It doesn't even have to be state sponsored. It could be just a very bored script kiddie person who just, oh, let me hack into the system because I can.
Wow, we really are living in a different world. And it's so incredible just how quickly it is all changing. Because as I said to you, the thought of having this conversation with you 3 years ago would have been absolutely unimaginable. Dr. Wa Tse Lung, thank you so much for chatting to me on Chai FM this afternoon.